Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Jumping off in hour two of the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show at Drago's Seafood Restaurant, home of the original charbroiled oyster. We're down here in Baton Rouge on Constitution Avenue. Come on out and hang out with us. We're here till 4:30. Get some of these oysters that Jimmy and I, along with Luke, have devoured. They are awesome. We were talking earlier about an upset potentially. It didn't happen. Alabama 20-19. They survive over Texas. Jimmy Smith, TigerDetails.com publisher, filling in for Herb today. Herb Tyler is an honorary captain for tonight's LSU-Southern matchup. What a great honor for him, and we're happy and excited for Herb. Jimmy, on your website, TigerDetails.com, y'all have chat rooms, et cetera. What's on the chat rooms based on the Alabama game and against Texas?
Well, the first one that jumps out is a post by Colleyville Tiger that says, Bama receivers kind of suck.
Kind of.
Right. I think, you know, what we have to keep in perspective here is we're used to Amari Cooper, Julio Jones, Devontae Smith, Jerry Jeudy. I mean, do they suck or do they just not have a first-round type guy, right?
Like, yeah. Look,
I would imagine. I know Jermaine Burton's a good player, you know.
Well, you said it when you rattled off all those names. Those are all first-round picks.
Yeah, those are dudes.
You know, second-round picks, studs. And I'm sure they've got them there. They seem to print them over there in Tuscaloosa, along with running backs a la Derrick Henry and others that just look the same. That's the thing about Alabama is, regardless of number, you'd be mistaken. Like, is that Derrick Henry? Oh, no, he graduated a long time ago.
Yeah.
You get the point? Like, they all look this. They recruit the similar, even size and build and speed and all the other things. They look like the same player that was playing there 8 years ago.
Yeah, I think of Najee Harris, right,
Najee Harris.
And then you had T.J. Yeldon, right, the guy that caught the big screen that broke LSU's back years ago.
You know who didn't fit that mold, though? And he's in the Saints uniform, Mark Ingram.
Mark Ingram. Well, they also have that type. Not as
– Sure.
You know, there's
not
two
as prevalent.
Types. Yeah, it's not as prevalent. I think the one they have right now, Jahmyr Gibbs, is probably in that mold, 5'10", 215, stocky and compact. But for the most part, they have these man-childs at running back, right? And we're used to seeing it year in and year out. I know Alabama signed some really good freshmen. Guy like Shaz Preston from St. James, local kid here that LSU really wanted. His time will come soon enough, and he will be a star for Alabama. But, 2019, eking out that victory against Texas, I didn't expect
when you were favored by 20.
When you were favored by 20. And you've got to think with the home field advantage in Texas's favor. So Vegas is saying you're a 24-point team better than this, and you just snuck that out. So that's an eye-opener for a lot of people. It looks like Alabama has some holes themselves this year. And honestly, I wanted the game to end 19-17 just because of the irony that Bert Auburn put the winning
the kicker for Texas.
Yeah, for Texas would have put the winning kick through against Alabama, and I just thought that would have made for great headlines.
I'm a happy guy either way. I love Texas Longhorn tears, and I love Alabama.
They're both crying
tears.
Right now,
yeah.
I can promise you.
It's a happy day. What else is on in the chat rooms? I love these chat rooms. They did come out like it's so hot. Take that, you know, they need a fire extinguisher to put them out.
Yeah, it's calmed down a bit since last week, as you can imagine. A lot of the topics on the site that keeps popping up is that incident last week during the press conference with the local reporter and Brian Kelly. I thought that was rather
interesting. That incident was funny when Brian Kelly was basically taking a jab at the late-arriving media that he called them, and a reporter quickly quipped, well, you win a game, we'll show up on time.
Yeah. But at the same time, Brian Kelly probably doesn't realize that for the last 10 years, reporters are used to those press conferences being 45 minutes late. Between Les Miles and Ed Orgeron, things were rarely on time, And now you have a Brian Kelly who's there to, ready to start at the time things are – but, you know, you have to be there, though.
Yeah, I think what
– You can't be late.
No. But I think something that you and I both know, Louisiana, South Louisiana is a unique, different place, okay? And if you're an outsider, it takes you a little bit longer to win people over, in particular when you're a head football coach at the biggest state school in the state. And you didn't get off to a good start. Not to mention, you know, this is a unique. We're unique people in Louisiana. Not
yeah.
bad, not better, but just we're different. And I think what I worry about is can Brian Kelly adapt to this fan base and to this area of the country that's just different, and understanding the market that he's in.
I think he will. The fact that he didn't lash out. At that reporter,
yep.
you know, kind of took it in stride and moved along, I think was a positive showing of how he's understanding that things are a little different down here. And it's even harder for him because, you know, he's from north of the Mason-Dixon line, right? Like, yeah, you're not from Louisiana, but at the same time, Southerners are probably more welcome than maybe some of your northern
Go Tigers.
Yankees, right? So he's definitely going to have – a difficult time getting over that hump. But, I mean, if he wins, it won't be long.
It won't matter.
Yeah, everybody in Baton Rouge and New Orleans will start finding their Irish heritage if Brian Kelly starts winning.
Without a doubt.
You know, there's some Ireland blood in there somewhere, and everybody will start tapping into that.
Yeah, and Jimmy, it's the comment last week, though, I'm not all that bothered by it. However, I would liken it to – you remember Bull Durham? When Crash Davis tells Nuke Kalilush, you have fungus on your shower shoes. Until you win 20 games in the show, you cannot have fungus on your shower shoes. You do that in the show, and the press will think you're colorful. And if you're Brian Kelly, you really can't make too much. There's not a lot of things that were funny last week. And he was trying to make a joke. And it backfired on him. And that's what I think he doesn't understand yet about this market, is that LSU fans are just intolerant of a lot of things. They just don't tolerate it. And especially when, you know, you lost to Florida State, which LSU, that's beneath them. And this is not the Florida State of the 90s,
mm-hmm.
you know, with Coach Bowden there. This is a Florida State program with Mike Norvell that is fighting for his job. So, you know, LSU fans don't find too much funny right now.
Well, since you want to cite old movies, you know, I'll remind Brian Kelly, this is like your old Yeller fan base, right? And they took one of their own out in Ed Orgeron, right? I mean, Ed Orgeron was one of their own. And they turned rather quickly when things started coming off the rails under Orgeron. So this is your old Yeller fan base. And if you get if things start going downhill and they think you're rabid, they'll take you behind the woodshed and take you out and move on to the next guy. So,
yeah.
Since you want to cite old movies,
yeah.
I'll go back to the first one that made me cry.
That was mine, too.
That was the first movie that made me cry.
I couldn't watch it for a long time. Like, I watched it once for the first time, and it scarred me. And then I got back into it. Yeah, Jimmy, you're kind of giving me some goosebumps right now. Because those are my two favorite – two of my favorite movies of all time, Bull Durham and Old Yeller. And who doesn't – if you're a young boy, I know we're getting off subject here.
Yeah.
If you're a young boy, though, who didn't dream of a yellow lab as your best friend?
I had one.
Yeah, me too.
You know what his name was?
Mm-mm.
Yeller.
Okay. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And
I walked right into that one.
Yeah. I remember he actually got run over before school, and my mom let me stay home from school. Local fire chief, I think, I believe it was, in Abita Springs back in the day. Took him out early in the morning, and it broke my heart, you know. So first time I cried for a movie was Old Yeller, and the first pet that made me cry was my dog Yeller. So
I do think Brian Kelly is going to ultimately have success here, Jimmy, in particular because he's starting to win the recruiting battles along the offensive line that LSU hadn't been able to make any inroads on. If you could talk about that and some of the guys that they're working on or have committed to them in a 2023 class.
Yeah, I think that's where he's going to leave his mark. If LSU wants to get back and be that consistent powerhouse-type program, always in and out of the top five, top ten, you're going to have to do it in the trenches. And he's been doing that since he's been here. We see it right now with Will Campbell, and able to keep Will Campbell committed and on campus and starting early as a left tackle, as a true freshman. His former teammate, Zay Lance Hurd, who, you know, some people have as a five-star. I think he's the top prospect overall in the state of Louisiana, a guy that could come in and play right away as a true freshman, even though it's not ideal, but he is capable of that. They have him in the book, the guy Ubinga from Georgia, who's extremely athletic, a lot of upside potential in him. And with all the ties Brian Kelly has through the Catholic League programs, which were, I would say, a third of the nation's top offensive linemen year in and year out come from those Catholic school programs, whether those private schools, whether it be at Don Bosco and DeMatha and all these schools around the U.S., you know, those are the schools that put out these guys year in and year out, and that's his wheelhouse. That's his bread and butter. Those have been the schools he's been recruiting for some time. So I think we're going to see a noticeable difference in the offensive line play in the next few years, but this is something that's going to take two or three, maybe even 4 years before we really see it play out on the field.
Yeah, listen, LSU's never had a problem recruiting skill position guys.
Ever.
Right? They're in abundance in this state. The big guys just don't, for whatever reason, you got to go out of state. You got to go up north a little bit. And that's where Brian Kelly has a fence around a few areas of this country up north, where, you know, he can go in there and just grab anybody he wants. And I think that if you go back and look, the national championship game, that team, they weren't great up front. They were good enough. Joe Burrow and that receiving core is what made them even better. But
right.
I think, man, you start getting the weapons that LSU has traditionally been able to get, they've always lost out on getting those big guys up front. And now he's going to be able to do that, and I think that's going to take this offense and this team in general back to where they need to be and where they want to be. 20-19, Alabama survives against Texas in a thriller, went back and forth. We're going to talk to Mike Dettillier when we come back about that matchup and preview LSU and Southern tonight at 6:30 right here on the home of the Fighting Tigers. We're at Drago's Seafood Restaurant in Baton Rouge on Constitution Avenue. Jimmy Smith, Christian Garrick. This is the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show here on WWL. All right, back here on the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show, live from Drago's Seafood Restaurant down in Baton Rouge off Constitution Avenue. Jimmy Smith, Christian Garrick. We already scarfed down some oysters. Mike D's Notebook is brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center of Thibodaux Regional Health System. Mike Dettillier, college and NFL analyst. Mike, how are you, man? And I'm sure you watched that Alabama-Texas game, huh?
Yeah. Listen, it was nothing like I thought it would be. And I would have taken the 20 points if I had to play that game. But, you know, I've learned long ago, either you feel real strong about Nick Alabama covering or you don't play. So I didn't play, but a couple things stood out, and one is that Alabama couldn't run the football well at all. I mean, it was non-existent. Guys, how many times do you remember Alabama not running the football well? That's the one thing that stuck out to me.
Hard to recall.
Man, because that's been Nick's wheelhouse. He wants to really run the football. And their young receiver struggled early in the game, getting open, and then catch the damn ball. The other thing, penalties, he's going to have a fit about that. When you're talking about 14, 15 penalties in a game, Nick's not going to be real pleased about that. And you also got to give Texas a lot of credit. I was impressed with their offensive line. You're playing two freshmen there. They more than held their own against a real stout unit and the best defensive player in college football in Will Anderson. And the one thing you learned, and it's an old John Facenda line, but it applies today. Great players don't always play great, but they play great when they have to. And Bryce Young was that at the end. And he made the plays when he had to, and he was the guy that won Alabama this football game. But just quick reactions, Gary Patterson was a great hire for Texas. Defensively, schematically, and their ability to put people in a place to make a play. I thought Gary did a great job. I got to talk to him in the offseason. He said maybe, you know, for me as I got older, maybe not relating as a head coach to players came into effect toward the end at TCU. But he put them back on the football map, and I thought he played a big part defensively and giving Texas an opportunity here to win a game. And but man, it was very watchable. Put it to you that way, and they had all of Football America watching.
Mike, when you look at the game, I was in transit down here to Baton Rouge, so I didn't see every play, and I missed the controversial supposed safety call that wasn't called. Did Texas get wronged there?
I guess, but technically by the rules, it was not called a backwards pass on the field. And so it's non-reviewable. How the hell can you miss that? How can you not be paying attention? Now, the safety call, when you go back and look at it, Bryce was laying basically on the back of a defensive lineman. And so the targeting call, I still don't get. I don't know what somebody was seeing other than Bryce Young's helmet came off on that play. Now, maybe he thought the guy had went for his head when he was down, but that wasn't the case at all. This was as bad an officiating crew as I've seen in college football in a long time. And on both, not just one side, but Alabama got the majority of the better calls, you would figure. But, man, I'm not sure what game they were calling. Maybe it was one from 2 weeks ago. But that one in the end zone was a cluster because what they missed was a backwards pass. Now, again, you got guys who are former officials in the booth. Most of the time, they are very good about seeing things and pointing it out to you. On this particular deal, they were covering up for their brethren that they were a major cluster across the board. They didn't want to tell you that, but it was obvious that this crew was as sorry as you could get as an officiating crew. It was really bad. Obvious cause of a missed face mask. I mean, right in front, the official standing right there and didn't see his head jerk back. So, man, Christian, I'm just telling you, I'm not real sure an away team gets these many calls if it's not Alabama.
Yeah, and look, Jimmy and myself and you, we're not some referee conspiracy theorists. We're just not. But it's worth highlighting and talking about. Let's look ahead to LSU and Southern tonight, an opportunity for Brian Kelly in the purple and gold. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got a couple of relatives of mine that are officials. And one of them texted me during the game about just how bad it was. So, listen, when he's going to tell me that, that just tells you how bad it is. Because normally, come on, you know, you're part of the crew. It's part of your brothers. And you want to do what's best. But, man, that was really a badly called officiated game. And I just don't see how you miss some of those calls. You really don't.
It's too important, Mike. Jimmy and I were talking about that. It's too important. Jobs are on the line. You know, head coaches, athletic directors, and I know it won't be in Texas. Steve Sarkisian is not getting fired after this game. If anything, he might get a raise just because how close he had it and probably should have won it. But my point is that college football and the NFL, I think, have an officiating crisis. I really do, because there's too much riding on this, in particular with the coaches, let alone the money. The amount of money that people are gambling and spending on this game, eventually, if it doesn't get fixed, they want the best product. If it's not the best product, they're going to lose money.
Well, you know, we have a couple of them local. Carl Johnson's a good friend of mine. Also, Jason Leday, who officiates Big 12 games. And, you know, they brought that up to me for the last 5 or 6 years, that it's a watershed moment for officiating. And they're bringing in a lot of young people, and the rules become more and more complicated. And, you know, what you think you kind of seen, sometimes it's not the letter of the law, the rule. And it keeps changing every year. So it becomes really complicated to officiate, and they aren't getting young people in. Money-wise, and also some of the negativity that you get during the game and afterwards, these guys aren't doing it. Just aren't. And so I know Jason and Carl have told me this for years, that you know, that they take a lot of pride in what they do, but that there's a whole new group of officiating. And that is very concerning to them, who have been doing this for quite some time. So I agree with you.
Mike, looking at LSU and Southern, 6:30 kickoff in Death Valley. And if you're Brian Kelly and company, given by last week how it went down, you got to see a number of things before you step into conference play next week. So if you're Brian Kelly, there's a lot you still have to see from your football team tonight, even though it's a game in which they're favored by 38 points.
Yeah, one, you got to be able to run the football. Again, it's part of the game. Everybody want to talk about the pitch and catch part of it. And yeah, you got to have that. But you got to be able to run the football when you need to and have to. LSU could not do that last week against Florida State. There were so many breakdowns up front along the offensive line. Then you got behind the eight ball, and you just started throwing it. You did get back in it late by throwing it short, quick. So you did find out what was best for Jaden Daniels. But I think the number one thing here offensively is to have some movement up front. You know, I'm around a lot of former college and pro offensive linemen, and they love to run block. They say, that's the easy part of the game. Pass blocking is the technical part, and it's much harder. But they love to be physical with people and move them off the line of scrimmage. You didn't see that last week at all against Florida State. Jaden Daniels made plays because he bolted out of there like a colt in the field. But that's, I think, an issue for Brian, along with you got to get Kayshawn Boutte involved in the game. Come on, and he can't sit and soak. You got to understand, you're going to have some moments where things don't work out, but you got to make plays. And all of Football America is watching you, okay? You're considered one of the top receivers in the country, and so you got to play that way. You can't pout if things go wrong. And we all sometimes lose our emotions. And so he's got to do a better job controlling that. But this has been sort of a love-hate relationship between Brian and Kayshawn almost from day one. And I think the player-coach relationship, we'll see how well that sort of molded during the week, because I know they had a couple different conversations. On defense, you'd like to see him tackle a little bit better. Game one's always going to be an issue with angles, tackling better in the open field, and getting off the field on third down. You can't let a team have over 70%, you know, percentage on third down conversions. That can't happen. So you got to be able to find a pass rush, influence the quarterback, and get off the field. And the special teams was a complete disaster. I know they've done extra work on special teams this week. And yet, what we're hearing, Malik Nabers may get another shot at it as a punt returner. So that goes to show how much Brian thinks of him as a return man. And he's explosive. And I think the world of him as a player, as a receiver. But, you know, he can't screw the pooch anymore. Because if not, then say Brian's in there returning punts. The kicking game, blocking up front, catching the punts, that all broke down. And so there's some areas there that you've got to be able to improve upon. And I think it is true. I hear it from a lot of college and high school and even professional coaches now with the way preseason's played. The biggest jump you make is from week one to week two. That, you know, you get it now, okay? You played in the game and you understand it. That it's not practice anymore. It's real game, and it's different. All this stuff about if you can practice it, you can do it in the game, is horse hockey today. Not the way they practice, because they're not hitting. You're not seeing live hitting. It's different. And so that's some areas they got to clean up at LSU. But running the football, tackling, getting off the field on third down, and special teams play has to be improved.
Hey, Mike, Jimmy here. You hit on a lot of points that I think really stood out, player to player, kind of seeing how this game broke down. But schematically, there were some things that really concerned me. I noticed on defense, LSU brought a good amount of pressure, but they played a lot of off coverage in those blitz situations. Yep. And on third and five, third and six, you're bringing extra guys, and you're giving free releases to these receivers. Basically, hey, hit your hot route if you want it, right? And then offensively, they were obviously having a difficult time blocking the Florida State front. But there were many instances Florida State brought more than LSU had to block with. And it just looked like they got out-schemed in that game. Is that something you saw, and is that something that concerns you with this new staff? Or do you think they're kind of handcuffed now as they slowly start to implement the things they truly want to do on their way to expanding to a full playbook?
Well, I thought Florida State, I think you bring up those points, and they're good, that they were bringing more people than LSU had blocking. So what you have to do there is you got to get that ball out quick. You can't call no deeper patterns. And you got to figure that out. Jimmy, I don't know that you can mask offensive line issues. I really don't know if you can. And I think they attacked what they thought was the weak link in the chain. And they went after it and they broke it, you know. And for three quarters, it worked. You know, it really worked. The off coverage and a lot of zone coverage, you got to mix and match. I bet in that game, I bet it was 85 to 90 that you were off or in zone. You know, do you not think your corners can play, man? You know, that part I don't know. But I think Kevin got a good dose of when you play a top quarterback in college football who can move around, you better affect him and you better get to him. Now, they did get pressure on Travis. And I thought he handled it pretty well, the pressure, because he got out of there and made some plays with his feet and then made the throw downfield. But it looked to me that there was always a spot that was open for a receiver or tight end downfield. So you got to play more man coverage. I think that's just part of it. And, guys, didn't this look a little bit like what we saw when LSU played Mississippi State in game one in 2020. It looked to be similar. You know, they say it in the same defense for the vast majority of the game and got eaten up. Come on, you got to mix and match it. But I think what you bring up is good points. That I think for Kevin, I think part of that is I wonder how much he trusts his corners in man-to-man situations. And the linebackers, they're going to get blamed for this, but you can't cover forever. You know, you just can't. In college or pro football, you can't cover forever.
Right.
So you got to influence the quarterback.
Mike Dettillier, thanks a bunch, man.
All right, guys, y'all take care.
All right, college football NFL analyst Mike Dettillier. Mike D's notebook brought to you by the Sports Medicine Center at Thibodaux Regional Health System. Jimmy Smith, Christian Garrick. This is the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show live from Drago Seafood Restaurant on Constitution Avenue in Baton Rouge here on WWL. College and I-10 is where you can find us here at Drago Seafood Restaurant, the home of the original charbroiled oyster. Alabama survives against Texas 20-19. LSU taking on Southern tonight at 6:30. Tommy Satanovich with Drago's was here watching it, and I know you were pulling
hard.
I'm
still throwing up.
I know. But you know what, Tommy, I don't know if you heard me earlier. You've been in the restaurant running around busy. I wanted to see Gump tears, but I'm okay with seeing Longhorn tears too.
That doesn't hurt. That doesn't hurt. No, that's good. But I'd have much rather seen the other side. It's just, you know,
I know.
It just is.
Hey, thanks again for having us out here today. This is a beautiful store.
This is a really cool restaurant, you know, because we built this, even though the building was here before, it was totally gutted. And so we got to walk in, and I took all the things from our other restaurants that I didn't like or didn't work and fixed them here.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And so I've always wanted a really big bar. I always wanted
– you got one here.
A lot of TVs in the bar. I wanted to be a show or like we do in this store a lot. We have a piano player at night, and so I got to do stuff like that. And then it's very versatile with the dining rooms. You know, we've got five separate dining rooms. We can do a dinner. We can do as small as 8 or 10, and we can go up to a 200-person sit-down dinner in here and still be open. And with all of that, we still serve charbroiled oysters.
And I was talking to Scott, your general manager, before the show. You guys opened this store in February, start of February. COVID shut everything down mid-March.
How about that? 5 weeks later, you get slammed. And, you know, we've got really good people with us and great staff. And Scott has been with us from the get-go, and we're really blessed to have him as a manager. And when I tell you, he puts his heart and soul in this building, and he does a great job. He's accumulated a wonderful staff, and we just like everything else, whether you're in the restaurant business or you're a doctor or a nurse or you know, work in radio or grocery stores, you know, you put your nose to the grindstone, and you do what you got to do, and that's what we did here, and we survived. We were, you know, very, very fortunate to survive COVID. And the cool thing is, as hard as we got hit in this particular restaurant with COVID, and right after we started, I've still got 20 and 30 employees from when we opened.
The original employees.
And that's in a college town. You know, and employees are tough, and it's been hard getting employees, and it's, you know, we've been living that. It's been, the employee problem is real, but I think we've got about 20 employees still working here today.
That's
that
great.
Are from the original, you know, all through COVID and all of that, and so we're very lucky. We've got wonderful people that work here with us, and trying to, you know, they duplicate what we do in Metairie, and blessed.
Listen, me, Jimmy, and Luke scarfed down. We did a dozen raw, a dozen char grilled. They're fantastic. They're so salty right now. They're so good. They're so good.
So good. You know, you're going into the fall. They tend to be a little bit on the small side right now, but that's just traditional.
I like them a little smaller.
Well, yeah, they're people call them half shell size. You know, mm-hmm. So they tend to be a little bit small, but they're delicious. There's a lot of flavor in it. You know, they're haven't had a lot of rain, so you got a decent amount of salt water that's out there right now, and with the river being low, you get more salt water. So we got lots of really good oysters for a lot of really good tailgating.
Yes, y'all do.
You've got to fill me in on the science here, right? Because I love oysters. Uh-huh. I've been chasing a good salty oyster for a while. And when you brought these out today and I ate one, I was like, this is what I've been looking for. Is that the hunt on your end to go find these quality
oysters?
Because
it's not uncommon for, you know, this one particular area to have good salty oysters now, and then next week, you know, a mile away, those aren't as good, and you go a mile away because the current has shifted. And they get better on the other side. And then there are times where there's nothing you can do. You're going to get oysters that just aren't salty because of all the fresh water that's out there when it's raining a lot or just different times of the year. And then you got times where they're almost too salty. You come January, February, March, they're too salty sometimes.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Tommy Satanovich, Dragos. Tommy, thank you so much once again for having us. We're looking forward to being down here each and every home game. Thank you so much.
We'll be here next week again. Looking forward to it. And we're going to have to add something to the instead of just raw oysters and charbroiled oysters, we're going to get you maybe some alligator tacos.
I'm down for that. All right, this is the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show here on WWL. Live from Drago Seafood College and I-10 is where you can find us here on WWL. All right, winding down our second hour of the Gulf Coast Bank and Trust Tiger Tailgating Show. Jimmy Smith, publisher of TigerDetails.com. In for Herb Tyler, I'm Christian Garrett. Got a half hour to go here live from Drago Seafood Restaurant in Baton Rouge. College and I-10 right here on WWL.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s?
It's better over here.
Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.